The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Lily Desford
and Doreen Amperson.
In the headlines, ace investigative journalist Anas Aremiyawo Anas and Chief Justice sued over public airing of video alleging judicial corruption. Elder statesman calls for police investigations into alleged bribery scandal involving judges before court hearing. Bank of Ghana, Governor of Bank of Ghana says Central Bank does not need parliamentary approval in seeking loans from IMF. Local government ministry rolls out plans to beautify city of Accra. And another Ebola case reported in Sierra Leone. The news now in detail. One of the 12 High Court judges implicated in the expose by Anas Aremiyawo Anas has filed a suit against Tiger IP, the Chief Justice and the Attorney General of the Fast Track High Court to challenge the intended public viewing of the said video. In a 13-page writ, Justice Paul Derry said the screening of the video at the Accra International Conference Center on the 22nd and 23rd of this month is illegal and only meant to incite public hatred against him. He said the said audiovisual recording is essentially such to prejudice the ongoing investigation, which forms part of the impeachment process by portraying him as guilty. Justice Derry contends that the intended public viewing of the said recording is a clear violation of his right to a fair hearing by the Judicial Council. He also argues that the recording by Anas was obtained illegally and maliciously for the purposes of impeaching him and is therefore in bad faith. The writ is also challenging the capacity of Tiger IP, which is not a statutory security service, to undertake the investigation. The judge therefore wants a declaration that the intended public screening of the contents of the audiovisual recordings to the public is prejudicial to his right to a fair hearing. He is also seeking a declaration that Tiger IP obtained the contents of the audiovisual recording unlawfully and that Anas's act of secretly recording private discussions with him constitutes a violation of his right to privacy and that any purported immunity granted by the Attorney General to Anas Aremiyawo Anas is unlawful and of no effect.
Now, elder statesman Kevin Asante has also waded into the debate on the Anas expose of alleged corruption in judiciary. In his view, the judges must not be treated differently from others on allegations relating to crime or corruption. Mr. Asante says the case must first be reported to the police for investigations before taking to court.
I'm not happy with all the halabaloo, all of it. Why should this particular case take on the course it has? Are we all equal under the law? If I had done it, if Kofi had been accused of bribery, wouldn't it be reported to the police? Isn't it a police case, something against the law? Why should judges be different?
Don't you agree that the video should be aired to the public?
No. When you don't air that, you see, there's a trouble with that. Why do we bring the public in? Suppose this is a corruption case. Suppose an official is found to be corrupt. He is being bribed and he took the bribe. Where do we send this case? Who deals? Is something against the law? Where do we report it? A man stabs a wife. He goes to the police before he goes to court. You go to the police. Is the police there sort it out? If they find there's a case, they take it to court, please. Why should we change it in case of lawyers?
So you are saying that we should first take this case?
That is one of the things which has corruption. Why should some people be treated differently? Not long ago, the same Anna wrote something about, I think, the Customs people. What has happened to it? It wasn't taken to court. We had inquiry, and the thing has died a natural death. I don't know, maybe it has been decided, but I have not been followed. Please, let's follow the correct procedure.
Not elder statesman K.B. Asante.
Still on the issue, the Commission on Human Rights and Administrative Justice, RAJ, has asked Ghanaians to exercise caution in their demands to have the video of some judges allegedly receiving bribes aired. It said the footage, if shown, might so cloud the judgment of some individuals. Acting Commissioner of Charge, Richard Quayson, said his outfit supports efforts by the Chief Justice in the judicial process to establish the culpability of those alleged to have corrupted themselves. Mr. Quayson said this after a meeting with the Chief Justice, Mrs. Regina Wood. Mr. Quayson, who is also Deputy Commissioner in Charge of Anti-Corruption and Public Education, met with the Chief Justice on account of the interest generated by the public. The only role the Commission had to play is to follow up on the processes to ensure the recovery of assets to the state from those culpable at the end of the investigative processes.
Now, former President John Jacumi Kufo has called for equal access to justice for everyone, adding that without this, the rule of law will be meaningless. He said access to justice should not be based on how much one can pay, saying justice is the foundation of a fair and democratic society. President Kufo was speaking at the annual bar conference in Kumasi.
The rule of law will be meaningless unless there is access to justice for the ordinary people. Access to justice is one of the constitutionally recognized human and fundamental rights of the individual in society. It is therefore essential that access to justice should not be defined exclusively on the basis of affordability. Otherwise, it would constitute a denial of inherent rights to be accorded by the law to the many. In the absence of access to justice, citizens are unable to have their voices heard in society, nor exercise their rights to confront discrimination or hold decision-makers to account. Thus, access to justice is the foundation of a fair and democratic society. As a matter of fact, it is not only the foundation of a democratic society, but also an index of its level of civilization. Indeed, the great things of justice captured is very aptly in the speeches of government when we vote, and I quote, in the absence of justice, not sovereignty, but organized robbery. Law is above all, and nobody is above the law. It has been the ground into universality. The rule of law enjoins values of regularity and restraint, and embodied in the slogan, government of law and not men. It means that the door of law and of the court must remain open for access to all sections of the people, including the disadvantaged, minorities, and the indigent, and the marginalized.
Here is former President John Ejikun Kufu.
I'm still on the analysis expose on whether it will affect investor confidence in Ghana. Experts are of the view that it is not a reality. Economic analyst John Gatti says dealing upfront with corruption in the judiciary, as the Chief Justice has vowed to do, will rather enhance investor confidence.
So it is not this that would drive investors up on the market. This would have been a serious matter for investors if it is spread out in the newspapers that the authorities are not serious in dealing with the matter. And now that they are very serious dealing with the matter, it rather enhance investor confidence.
Economic analyst John Gatti, another economist, Kingsley Marty, also believes that the investor scenario in the face of the alleged judicial corruption scandal is not doom and gloom.
That there is a silver lining, and it provides us with the opportunity to actually reach the system of those particular people or forces who do not mean well for the system. And again, I think it is also important to note that whilst we talk about the alleged corrupt ones, we should also talk about the other ones who were alleged to be incorruptible. And I'm sure that investors will be looking at both sides of the coin. And so I wouldn't say that even though it is a bad publicity for the country, it is not a crisis point. The crisis point will come if we are not able to handle this very well.
You heard economic analyst Kingsley Marty.
Now, lawyer Francis Susu has been explaining why Justice Elmer Paul Berry, out of the 12 High Court judges implicated in the analysis expose, is seeking a court injunction on the public hearing of the video. According to lawyer Susu, placing the information before the court of public opinion is simply prejudicial.
every allegation that has been made against them and possibly to clear themselves if they believe that there has been some unfairness in the process leading to the various allegations or the pieces of evidence that has been gathered against them. So I believe that Justice Terry is perfectly right to go back to the court, the same court that he had presided over before as a high court judge, to now seek remedy to clear his name. I think the judge is perfectly right in doing so.
With the 17 released, one says a declaration that the intended public screening of the contents of the audiovisual recording to the public by the first defendant is prejudicial to the plaintiff's right to a fair hearing.
Well, I believe that, you know, one of the dangers to justice in this country is the kind of prejudices that we generate around cases even before they get to court. And I believe that those acts, representations, statements that are made either in public or wherever they are made ahead of cases being heard in a court of competent jurisdiction, see with the power to look at the evidence critically and conclude whether or not a person has committed an offense, I believe those statements end up prejudicing the whole case. And particularly when it has to do with a crime, it has the potential of endangering the right, free and fair trial. So I do agree, Justice Terry, on this point.
What legal practitioner Francis to see? This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Ace investigative journalist Anas Almeyawanas and Chief Justice sued over public airing a video alleging judicial corruption. Elder statesman calls for police investigations into alleged bribery scandal involving judges before court hearing. Governor of Bank of Ghana says Central Bank does not need parliamentary approval in seeking loans from IMF. Local government ministry rolls out plans to beautify city of Accra. And another Ebola case reported in Sierra Leone. We're back after this break.
Welcome back. Governor of the Bank of Ghana, Dr. Henry Wampa, says the central bank does not need parliamentary approval to access credit facility from the IMF, reacting to concerns raised by the minority with regards to the IMF bailout. Dr. Wampa said such a facility affects the balance sheet of the central bank, improves its reserves, and supports balance of payments. Dr. Wampa said this at a media briefing after review of the economy. He said this is not the first time government, through the Bank of Ghana, has acquired such a facility, adding that the practice is common in other countries.
Bank of Ghana does not go to Parliament for approval of the facilities in place. And this is clearly a facility that was available to the Central Bank. We have the facility and it affects only our balance sheet. It improves our reserves and the main purpose is to support balance of payment. And it is what we use also for intervention and so on. So this is not a government, it is a Bank of Ghana loan. And this is not the first time we are taking it in the past. So there are all the times that we have had much support with the taking this, and I don't remember going to the to Parliament. If you look at the letter of intent, it's signed by both the Minister of Finance and the Central Bank Governor. Those two will be signing because there are aspects that of the program as a whole, there are aspects that the Minister of Finance is responsible for, and those are the fiscal consolidation report, and they are derived from the budget. If you look at the IMF program, targets, all the government, they are consistent with the budget, the revised budget that the minister wants to parliament for. So those have had parliament approval. The aspect of this that involves the central bank, apart from the issues of reserves and so on, is the lending that we get from the central bank. And let me say that this is very common. Most of the countries don't require parliamentary approval for the central bank.
Answering a question on whether Ghana has already entered the threshold of a highly indebted poor country, HIPIC, Dr. Wampa said although the country's debt stock currently stands at 94.5 billion cedis, that is 70.9% of GDP, Ghana cannot be described as a HIPIC country. He said a country status as HIPIC lies with its government.
to go in rupees is a conscious decision by the country to say that I'm going with rupees. You can say that it has been levels that were similar to pre-rupees level, but they are not sure that. It says to go rupees is a decision by government. It is not automatic that at some level you should go rupees. So then it's based on DSAs, not just a simple GDP to be based on a whole debt sustainability analysis. And I'm not sure that would reflect what they are saying. I'm not saying to know, but I'm not sure.
Meanwhile, the Minister of Finance said Tete will from next week lead a delegation for the roadshow on the Eurobond facility. Dr. Wamba said part of the proceeds from the Eurobond will be used to pay off old debts.
The Eurobond roadshow will start a week from today, start on Tuesday. We will leave Accra on Monday and we'll start on Tuesday when we get to London. So that is the point of start for the Eurobond roadshow. The Eurobond, what it will do to the Delaware? So part of it will be replacing old debt, I mean domestic debt. So it is not all going to increase the debt level. Because the debt level, the projection for the year, I'm sure, will be based on what is government deficit for the year, therefore government borrowing from, and that is still within the program, the budget, and therefore I don't see that as a routine very dangerous. Currently, what we estimate is about 70% of GDP, a little over 70%. And let me say, the last month, that's in June, so the main figure between May and June, the difference is due mainly to exchange rate effect for virtually flat. So if the exchange rate were stable, it would stay at the 67% of GDP instead of the 70+%.
Governor of the Bank of Ghana, Dr. Henry Wampan.
The Adaro Bank is to hold a special investors forum to get prominent individuals to invest in the bank in order to raise more capital. This is to ensure that the bank meets the minimum paid up capital deficit of 1 million Ghana cedis by 2017 as required by the Bank of Ghana. The board chairman of the bank, David Nasaba, announced this at a 30th annual general meeting of the bank at Kase. He noted that the bank advanced 4,986,000 Ghana cedis as loans to customers in 2014 against 4,302,000 in 2013. He said the bank's total assets grew from 9,088,000 cedis to 10,858,000 cedis during the period under review. Mr. Saba indicated that the bank suffered a decline in profits, making only 172,000 cedis in 2014 as against 373,000 cedis in 2013. He attributed the dip in profit to high operating costs due to the power outages as well as currency depreciation and bad and doubtful debts.
Yes, in very serious looking at the operational cost involved, however, I think giving light to that information. So we are very much talking about children. But all the same, we have invited from the head of the country, Samuel, which has been talking about money for space. We will be able to fashion the world. This is simply a process. But that means so, because right now, at the end of the day, before we buy, to update this new project, it's actually affecting our ministry of office, all the fuel cost involved in the meeting. It's minimum budget for that because we are not foreseeing competition to that kind of. So really, we are struggling to make it balance the commission and make it work to get work for us. And all these things, having serious effect on us, particularly on our profit margin.
The head of finance at the ARB Apex Bank, Kwikla Bibio, called the rural and community banks to ensure effective intermediation process to keep adequate liquid funds to meet customer withdrawal needs and payment obligations as required by the Bank of Ghana.
President Mahama says government remains committed to the pursuit of light and light-based technologies in addressing the socioeconomic challenges confronting the country. To this end, the Laser and Fiber Optic Center at the University of Cape Coast is to be transformed into a fully-fledged institute to pave the way for the sub-region to develop the needed manpower in harnessing light and its technologies for socio-economic development. President Mahama said this in a speech read on his behalf at the celebration of International Year of Light and Light-Based Technologies in Accra. Ibrahim Kwatin reports.
The celebration of International Youth of Light and Light-Based Technologies is to promote the central role of light in enhancing the many opportunities derived from the utilization of the resource for the benefit of mankind. It further presents the avenue for utilization of light in medicine, communication, energy, and agriculture to revolutionize understanding in the preservation of arts and the country's cultural heritage. It can also be applied in environmental sustainability, climate change mitigation, to impact on national economies. It is against this backdrop that government says it will leave no stone unturned in harnessing this free resource for the development of their country. The Minister of Education, Professor Nana Jean Opoku Adjuman, explains the benefits in the utilization of the laser technologies.
We need to use opportunities such as this to reduce our status as consumers of things other people have made and raise our status as producers of things that others have made. Because the more you rely on what people have done, the more you spend all your resources purchasing. And sometimes the tragedy is because we didn't make it, because we don't even understand how that particular appliance came together. We don't even know how to maintain it. They say you don't have a maintenance title. Of course, we have a maintenance title. But because you are not part of the production process, you don't know how to maintain it. You don't know what to do when it breaks apart. So even for maintenance, you have to rely on other people. How are you going to be rich when you have a situation like this?
The conference is expected to create a platform that will open up science and technology for appreciation by policymakers, politicians, and social commentators.
That report was filed by Ibrahim Kwatin. The Ministry of Local Government and Rural Development is collaborating with the Ghana Garden and Flower Company to beautify the country and through that create employment for the youth. The sector minister, Alhaji Collins Dauda, said flowers will be planted at vantage locations to make the city beautiful. He said this at the closing ceremony of the Ghana Garden and Flower Show in Accra, a report filed by Benjamin Edu Angelo Dina Badu.
The Ghana Garden and Flower Show comes off annually to create public awareness on the importance of horticulture and floriculture. The fair was initiated by Strascom Africa to contribute to the development of a national beautification and gardening policy. Minister of Local Government and Rural Development, Alhaji Collins Dauda, urged Ghanaians to support the project to address issues of environmental degradation.
When we are talking refuse now, everywhere, almost every children, whether it's left or left, have taken part of black teeth and cultivating small gardens, and children are making impact out of selling the flowers.
Stratcom Africa, Esther Koba, said she's excited the project over the years has created employment for the youth.
In a year's time, or 2 years, or 3 years, or 5 years, somebody here says, my business has expanded because of this show. You should know that you have spread the test. If somebody who has out there without employment says, I'm now employed in the flower industry, more amazing things throughout the year, and then it will culminate in
Here at CEO of Strategic Communications Africa, Esther Koba, and then that report by Benjamin Edu and Lodina Bedu.
The Synagogue Church of All Nations has donated medical supplies to the 37 military and police hospitals in Accra. The donation worth 150,000 cedis was in response to an appeal recently made by the two facilities during the industrial action by doctors of public health institutions. The supplies include hospital beds and mattresses, blankets, wheelchairs and unpaid clutches, as well as other essential drugs. A member of the church, Samuel Saki, on behalf of Prophet Stevie Joshua, presented the items to the commander of the 37 military hospital, Colonel Samuel J, and the medical director of the hospital, Dr. Zakaria.
In Sierra Leone has announced a mini Ebola death in a northern district that has gone nearly 6 months without reporting the infections. The announcement marks another setback in ending Ebola in Sierra Leone, which has recorded nearly 4,000 Ebola deaths during the worst outbreak. Last month, the country's last known Ebola case was discharged from hospital, a milestone that allowed Sierra Leone to begin a 42-day countdown towards being declared Ebola-free. The latest fatality is a 16-year-old who died on Sunday.
And now to end the news, the main points again. One of the 12 High Court judges implicated in the expose by ace journalist Anas Aremiyawo Anas has sued Anas and the Chief Justice in an attempt to stop the airing of the video. In a 13-page writ, Justice Paul Derry said the airing of the video is illegal and only means to incite public hatred against him. Meanwhile, elder statesman K.B. Asante says the judge's case must not be treated differently from other allegations of corruption. And Sierra Leone has announced a new Ebola death in a northern district that had gone nearly 6 months without reporting any infections. The announcement marks another setback in ending Ebola in Sierra Leone. The news was presented by Lily Defoe
and Darwin Ampofu in Accra.